Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations stance point.
Kayabi na saima let lara kikem. Applica kemli ridley. Wada baumi, wada pamina adidju ridley. Wada ia atarikasia. That, everyone, was the language of the Meriam people all the way from the Torres Strait. That is the language of my people, and in the language of my people, I acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands in which we're on, and also I acknowledge the traditional custodians of the past, of the present, and from those who will come after as well. And today I am broadcasting from the beautiful country of the Yuggera Turrbal people here in Meganjin. So I would like to extend that acknowledgement to them, and also extend that acknowledgement to anyone who's tuning in to listen to this episode of Let's Talk Black Arts. This segment, Let's Talk Black Arts, is all about talking about the arts. So it's including storytelling, visual arts, and everything in between. And we've got a pretty deli show lined up for you, because we have a special guest to have a yarn with. We have Josh Dean on the line. Hello, Josh. How are you?
Going very good. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no, all good. So glad to have you. And let's start by, if you wouldn't mind, introducing who you are, who's your mob, maybe your pronouns, and just a bit about who you are.
Epic. So I'm Josh Dean. I'm he, him. My mob is Trulaway, and I'm a Palawa man. Coming to you live from the Bunurong lands down in Nam. So it's a pretty cold day today, but we're vibing.
I would say it's cold too here in Brisbane, but I feel like I've got nothing on you down in Nam down there. But, you know, by my standards, it's really cold.
I got a little gym session in, so I'm warmed up.
Oh, that's good. That's good. with all of the shows that we start with Let's Talk Black Arts, we always like to check in, and we ask what's the vibe, and it's all about asking how are we feeling in the moment, and, you know, recognizing that sometimes we're feeling strong and deadly and powerful, which is awesome, but sometimes we're not feeling as strong as well. And I think it's important to just recognize and openly talk about that and seek support where we need to. So Josh, I want to ask you, what's the vibe? How are you feeling? Let's check in.
It's been a massive month, like with NAIDOC and everything. I've just spent yesterday with my partner, actually. We've been loading in my next solo exhibition down here. So that was like a massive day. I'm a little bit tired, but I'm excited for tomorrow, because we do like our launch and everything like that. But yeah, just part of me, right? It's like whenever you create these things, I get a bit nervous. So like, is anyone going to come? So, yeah, I'd be lying if I didn't acknowledge the fact I've got some butterflies in my stomach about it.
Yeah, the nerves.
Yeah.
And not only that, I feel like, you know, we talk about it a lot. Like, you know, when it comes to the arts, people might see the final product as something, you know, so deadly and so amazing, but there's so much that happens behind the scenes, isn't there?
Yeah, 100%. I think for me, like going to the gym, like that's why I went this morning. I didn't get a chance to yesterday, but that really centers me. And it's like that time away from like emails or like my own thoughts. And I'm just there, like, you know, counting reps, listening to like music, and I guess just kind of vibing out with it in my little space away from the world. So I found that like probably one of my best ways of like, you know, releasing. I did boxing with a friend for like 2 years as well, and that kind of helped acknowledge that, like, inner warrior, if that makes sense, like being able to hit something and get that like bit of aggression out in a channeled way. So I'll definitely go tomorrow before the exhibition, just so I can like have that clarity in my mind. Yeah,
I think a lot of people resonate with that physical exercise and physical activity as part of their self-care practice, a bit of stress relief, anxiety relief, a whole bunch of things. And, you know, I have in the past resonated with that. I need to get back into that. But, you know, you mentioned it was NAIDOC week and recently, and You know, I think, you know, I find some alignment in the sense of it's a busy week and, you know, you're going to all these events here, there and everywhere. And I'm feeling quite tired and feel like I'm trying to recover from this busy time of the year. And, you know, my self-care practices include getting into my music and, you know, going for swims as well, connecting to country. Water is so cleansing, I feel. Although times are busy and energy levels is, you know, hard to maintain, but, you know, practicing the self-care and getting out there and making the steps to do that is so important. But, you know, it's okay also sometimes to, you know, feel like you're not on top of things. And, you know, if you're in those cases where you're not feeling so great, definitely reach out to mob, reach out to the people around you, have a yarn with your cousins, your aunties, uncles, grandparents. Start with your community, but you can also reach out to other deadly services that are actually out there as well, where you can connect with counsellors and psychologists and things like that. And don't feel ashamed, reach out to your local gym even to see if that's something that resonates with you, with your self-care practice. But there are some organisations that do some deadly work, including, you know, Support Act. Support Act is an organisation focused on supporting mental health and well-being of Australian artists, and that includes musicians, music lovers, like music workers behind the scenes, and performance artists and theatre. So they have a well-being helpline, which you can call on 1-800-959-500. They also have a dedicated First Nations line if you select option 3. But you also have 13YARN, another deadly service that is out there nationally. You can give them a call on 139276. But yeah, just ultimately, if you need support out there, don't be ashamed and reach out, Mob. All right. Well, I'm really excited to hear, Josh, about your origin stories. And, you know, you do so many things that relate to the arts, and you say you've got an exhibition coming out as well, which is really, really deadly, and keen to hear more about that. But that's the present day. How did you find an interest or were influenced by the arts industry? What's that journey been like for you?
I guess, so for me, I grew up on the Kabi Kabi lands on the sunny coast. And I guess just like what being around, the music scene there, like a lot of hardcore music, this kind of like punk culture, which was like escape the system there, go to the beach, like, I guess everything up there that I loved was like kind of free in that sense, like surfing and, you know, a little bus ride or ride my bike or something down to the beach. And all my friends were kind of similar. So, I guess we just started vibing off each other, right, and then getting into heavy music. And I guess that kind of counterculture influence opened my eyes to what I didn't realize was art at the time. It was just like a way of living. But I always used art, like drawing especially, as a way of like escaping, like, I guess, things that would happen at home. You know, I grew up with quite a hard childhood in a sense, like witnessing dad with his own issues of like drug abuse and alcohol addiction and stuff like that, which is very much passed down intergenerationally, and there's a lot of that trauma that's existed in my family. It's something I acknowledge as well, and you know, I try to drink that often, only for certain like reasons and stuff like that now. But yeah, art was that way of like, I guess, separating myself from the chaos that was going on at home. And I never really like looked at it as a job, to be honest. Like I tried so many different practices, like music was an outlet, but didn't view it as art. So yeah, it wasn't until I got older really that, I kind of was working in a cafe, like just juggling like a few different jobs here and there. And I saw an artist bring in some paintings that he wanted to sell in the cafe. And I looked at them and I was like, oh, wow. Like, you know, seeing him selling it, I was like, I could sell my art, you know, like I've been drawing painting for my whole life. But I didn't want to be one of those people that like said, you know, like I could do it without doing it. Like I'm really like, I want to try something to see how hard it is before I go, I can do it. If that makes sense. Yeah. So, I guess, yeah, it's been like a crazy ride to get where I am now. And, I've like fell into so many different avenues where it's been like, you know, in the fashion industry, like modeling, like I've modeled overseas. I've worked as a photographer, like a stylist, retail jobs where I was like fashion styling as well, runways, stuff like that. So,
Oh,
I guess what
definitely.
I do now is kind of like a culmination of like my experiences in life. But my intention is because, you know, I'm 35 now, it's like when I was younger and I didn't have many role models, I now recognize the fact that what I saw in like the hardcore scene of music, like these are all like straight edge people. So straight edge, it's like no drinking, no drugs. Like, you know, abstinence in that sense, like what that gave me was like a role model, like something different that I didn't have. So I guess for me now, my objective with my art is to be myself, like unapologetically, but to also like use this as like a pathway and an avenue to like try and inspire other people that kind of don't have that in their life.
Yeah, no, that's Deli. Thank you for sharing that. And it's just so interesting to hear, like, you know, when it comes to art, it is sometimes a process of self-discovery. Sometimes you don't always know some of the things that you're doing can translate to art. And I think it brings an important point to consider that, you know, the music industry, the creative industries, and the arts industry are often, you know, when it comes to Australia and even globally, can sometimes be perceived as systems and, you know, kind of siloed. But I love the fact that, you know, when you're talking about your approach to art, it was really just like you were basically just, I guess, not bound by any one sort of channel. You followed your inspirations, and art played a role in shaping who you are, what you did, and you weren't, you know, bound by any of the systems and the current challenges that exist with the creative industry. So I love that.
Yeah, I'm very much a believer because I'm like self-taught, right? And this is for all my practices. Like I'm a photographer as well, so that's self-taught. You know, social media has taught me a lot of things. But I love this avenue, especially I guess someone coming from like a First Nations perspective, where I feel like, you know, we may be the first person in our families to ever get like a tertiary education or something like that. And I hate the idea of, say, the creative industries making this space where it's like you have to study it, you have to go through these industries to like make it happen. Whereas I see, like, you know, someone as myself, right? I've developed this out of like pure like willpower, I guess. But I guess I want to show that to other people that think, oh, maybe I dropped out of school like I did, you know, and there's no future for me. And it's like, well, there is, like, especially like if you have this belief, if you have this hard work and this drive in and belief in yourself and what you're creating, that it matters, you can do it. Like, people will give
Absolutely.
you a chance. You just have to show them and you just have to be dedicated.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also important to recognize, you know, if we're looking at, you know, existing and operating within arts industries and we want to make it into a living, unfortunately, you know, there are certain systems that we have to learn about and consider. For example, you know, just, you know, basic business essentials and knowing how to do your tax. And they're very, very difficult, challenging things to overcome because the creative world and the business world, for me anyway, coexist well together. It's very, very difficult. And I think I've heard from a lot of First Nations businesses who are often just starting their career, not just in the creative industries, but just in general, who also find that challenge. And what some of the things or the lessons that you've learned to find the right balance in being able to live through your art and to also financially support the means and meet those obligations as a business and a sole trader or something like that? Yeah, what's your take on that?
Look, I was kind of laughing because, like, I feel like I'm pretty bad at it and I'm, like, learning all the time, right? And I have, like, my uncle in my ear who's, like, get your tax sorted out kind of thing. Go to your account and keep those receipts, boy. I'm not going to give advice on that, but what I can give advice on is, as a creative, right, like, I've found my place being able to multitask, and that's when I went really hard at one thing, say if it was the modeling, then I had like a period where there was like no work. So for me, it's like I've been able to use multiple skills and I guess connect it in more spaces that I've been able to then provide myself with the like good workflow. So for instance, like I'm still what I would classify as emerging with my art career. And I dedicate like so much time to it and, you know, not much comes in from that. But for me, it's like being able to utilize other spaces that still are within the creative industry, such as like photography, to be able to like then help me work towards my art. So it's like having a future like look at things and where it's going to go. Like it might not feel like it's paying off financially, but being able to look to that for the future. But I guess like, look, I've come from living in housing commission. I've come from like, you know, I guess not having much. So I don't need much to be able to follow my dreams and feel content. And every day for me feels like a blessing. Every day that I feel like I'm able to create or I'm able to be like, you know, on this path, it just feels like, yeah, I just feel super grateful. I got a roof over my head and food in the fridge. My partner, looking after my partner. So, you know, that's what matters to me. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, that's one of the key points that I was also going to talk about, is that really, like, no matter what happens in the world of, you know, business or your taxes, or there's sometimes, you know, the challenging stuff of how to operate and make a living within the creative industries, something that has always been key has been to, I guess, learn about what your values are and sticking to them, because ultimately, isn't it the values that really give you or give you a sense of meaning in your life? I know it does for me, but... And it sounds like for you too. And when it comes to those values, are there any key values that you prioritize above all? So like, no matter what you do, like if you say yes to different projects or no to different projects, what's some of the values that are important to you as you move forward?
So I guess working within the black space, for me, it's important to recognize like whose land I'm on, like cultural protocols, things like that, certain art forms that I don't paint or practice in. And I guess like talking to that with clients, also getting clients to understand the recognition of ICIP, and honoring that, within creative spaces and giving like not taking away Indigenous artists, right of their material or our copyright of our heritage. Those things are like kind of, you know, non-negotiables within like the business space. But I guess for me, right, like I set a goal. So like for instance with my photography or with my my designs and stuff like that, like I want to be able to get to the point where I can then employ people, and hopefully it's people that I like recognize like their work ethic and their desires, not based on so much of their like degrees. So I guess, yeah, I have this like, you know, bit of a storyboard, and it's like, I want to be like, I guess that kind of mentor within my own business to give people opportunities that I think they might've felt like they might not have had. So say for instance, like, someone who doesn't have the camera gear, but wants to be a photographer, like I'd love to be able to enable them by being, look, I've got the gear, I can just, we can work together. So that's kind of my like, yeah, steps I'm looking for in the future.
Yeah, well, that's so deadly. Like, you know, we've got to go to a break, but I think just, you know, the love and support from Mob is just such an incredible feeling. And I feel that within the music, First Nations music community. And I'm sure, you know, throughout anything that we do, whether it's in the arts or in sports or in anything like that, it's just the love and support from Mob that really helps us grow together. Well, we're going to go to a quick break, and when we're back, more with Josh on Triple A Murray Country. Let's talk black arts.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back. It's another episode of Let's Talk Black Arts with Will Power Uwe, and I'm here with Josh. And yeah, we're talking about all the daily work that you do in the creative fields, and it's not just one thing, which has been really, really daily to hear about. And it's been daily to hear about some of the values that you hold strong within yourself and some of the goals that you have in elevating, supporting other people who have similar interests as well. So there's something I want to thank you for. I really want to thank you for the deadly outfit that I was able to wear at the Queer NAIDOC Ball here in Brisbane. I got lots of compliments before I even walked in through the doors. And then also once I entered the doors, lots more compliments, and then also compliments on the way out the door. So I felt really special that day. I was wearing one of your outfits. It was a two-piece with a dingo on it and... Yeah. Yeah, those bright neon sort of yellows and the purple on there as well.
Yeah.
So thank you, for one, for being able to allow me to wear that. And I was hoping you could tell me more about, you know, not just that outfit, but all the other outfits that you do have and that you've designed.
So firstly, thank you for rocking that. You looked epic. That was sweet. Saw the photo.
Thank you.
Instantly liked it. So I guess, look, for me, right, because I worked as a model, I really wanted to create something within the space. And I wanted to, you know, I guess just give my perspective of fashion. I started off painting like denim and leather jackets and like upcycling like a lot of clothes that I'd like thrift, and that kind of like led me down an avenue of like, oh, you know, people are interested in this, and yeah, I just as like I kind of sat back for like a year like developing designs and thinking about the brand and all this kind of stuff. And it was really important for me as a First Nations person to create something that was like for visibility within this space, right, that uses like motives that are inspired by country. So country to me, you know, is all that is Australia. So I want my brand, like I've created with this identity of it, like, you know, you look at it, you can tell this is an Australian thing, but it's for like, I want it to be overseas. Like I want people overseas to go, oh, that's an Australian brand. And then I want them to look deeper into the brand, and I want them to, you know, see what this represents, what this means, why this is on there. So yeah, I try to think really, really hard about like the way I come across like all my designs, and I draw everything, like I design it all. I'm not very good at sewing, so I've got like dressmakers and stuff like that, but I design all the dresses and everything as well. And it's like very much like hands-on, and I wanted to put my name on my brand. My brand's called By Josh Dean, because I wanted it to represent, to me, it was like, if my name is on it, I have to make it good.
Yeah.
Like I can't hide from that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And yeah, I guess it's just important for me, right, to be able to really just put something out there to hopefully create something more out of it. Like, as I said, like I've got goals of turning this into like a big company or something. I'd love to be able to like hire other people and start expanding it and like doing collaborations. And yeah, so what we launched in November, and we did Melbourne Fashion Festival, which was really cool, and we've got some like big things kind of coming up. So it's just been like I've been just rolling with it, to be honest. Taking it as it comes, learning along the way, really.
Yeah. No, well, you're doing a daily job, and I'm just loving seeing everything that you're doing, particularly through your socials and that. And I hope one day we can see your name up in a big building, I don't know, somewhere in Queen Street Mall or wherever the shopping mall is there in Melbourne. And internationally as well. Yeah. So, yeah, keep an eye out. Josh Dean, everyone. Keep an eye out. I want to ask you now about the exhibition that you've just worked on. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what current projects you have in the works and what's coming out in the future for you?
Yeah, so this exhibition's called Revived. So the reason that I've called it that is because I kind of touched on it just before. It was like my entry into the fashion industry was like creating upcycled jackets, and One thing I don't like about the fashion industry, and it takes me back to when I was a little kid, right? It's like when you come from like a place of like, you know, lack, and your parents are working as hard as they can, but you still don't have as much as, you know, the kid up the road or whatever, it can get ingrained in your mind. And it's like fashion, I feel like, can be very exclusive like that, and separates, you know, the rich from the poor, etc. So I loved the idea of like being able to create like your own wearable art piece. Like anyone can thrift, or you can pass something down and paint it and turn it into an art piece or your own piece, and you can rock it, kind of thing. So I remember like one of my cousins, like they were a lot more well off, and they used to send us these like big garbage bags, right? Like probably once every 6 months, every time they grew out of their clothes, and there'd always be like something in there that was like, I'd never wear. I think I had like some dope Dada jeans at some point or something like that.
I think we all had like those at one point.
Sean John silks or whatever. But I remember that moment for me, and it was like I felt so like awesome when I first tried on this like, you know, outfit that probably my family couldn't afford. But I love that idea of like it being thrifted or being passed down, and how much that meant to me as a kid, right? So this exhibition's kind of based around like reviving older pieces and showcasing them in like a new way, like and in a unique way, right? Because when you paint something and you create it as it's like its own bespoke piece, it's like no one else has that but you, and it's like whatever value you want to put on that, you could, you know what Absolutely. I mean? It's one of a kind. It's like a person. So I did a runway back in 2019 where I had models wear a lot of these pieces that I made, and I guess just as my practice has developed, I've spent the last like 5 years like really painting like pretty much every day, and I've gotten to a point now where I think I'm good enough to like paint the models. So I've painted paintings of the models wearing these clothes, and then I've got the actual outfits on mannequins, and then because all my like pieces that I've been designing come from actual paintings that I then turn into garments. I've got a couple of the actual paintings hanging next to the garments themselves, just to show people a little bit of like insight into my creative process. But yeah, it's really like, cause it's in a library space, so it's like accessible for everyone. And I just wanted, like, you never know who's going to see your art, right? And I just wanted to approach it with this intention of like trying to inspire people that like, you know, might not think that they can be unique or whatever, and show them like you can be whatever you want. You have the power. It's inside you. Like, you don't have to feel like you're excluded from the world because of how much money you have in your bank or whatever. Like, you can, you can literally do whatever you want. You just have to like, you know, find that piece, change it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's just like, you know, just manifesting your own passions.
Yeah.
In any form of expression. And, you know, I love hearing, you know, your thought process and your creative process and the way that you've done things and how this exhibition called Revive is set up. Where is it happening, and when is it happening?
It's in Melbourne City Library on Flinders Lane. It's launched today, actually, but it's, so we've got like our launch night tomorrow night, but it's on until I think the 10th of August, so a couple of weeks. It's free. It's there like I think 9 a.m. till 7 p.m. But yeah, I'd love to be able to like, you know, extend this into a thing where I did like denim and leather painting classes and stuff with people, so then I could like teach them my process and like, you know, share the love. Like, I think art is like share. Like, don't ever get jealous if someone copies you. Like, that's like, let them do their own thing, you know. Like, we're all on our own journey. And
I do share a similar sentiment to that, because I feel like when I create music or art is being created, for me that word creation is just like the key word there, and it's created for me. And well, this is my opinion, but it's essentially like I'm creating a gift that is meant to be shared, and it's something that it should be given to other people. I know, you know, just in music, like when you sing, you're creating music that is going towards someone, and I feel like, you know, people shouldn't just sing because they want to sound good.
Yeah.
It's like, what is the song saying, and what gift are you giving people? And That's kind of my mentality, and I feel like that I heard felt a translation between, you know, your discussions just there and now, and that's pretty deadly. So I hope everyone who's down there in Melbourne City can get down to that exhibition and to have a look at Josh's artwork there, an exhibition called Revive. And yeah, stay tuned to see what's coming up, to see how, you know, you progress. I would love to come down for a little class, you know, and learn more about your process. I'd love to design clothes, but, you know, I already spread myself thin with many other things, but I just love that expression of wearing.
I was really lucky over NAIDOC week. I was able to run some classes, so some like Australian native botanical painting classes. It was the first time I've ever like stood as a teacher in a room full of people, right? So we had like the class sold out, which blew my mind, but we had like 30 people there, and they're like, "Oh, how long have you been teaching?" So I was like, "Oh, it's my first class. Thanks. You've been a great class, been great students." But it was just this idea, right? Because NAIDOC Week is like, it's about us, but NAIDOC Week's also about country, right? So I wanted to like show everyone just a moment, right? A moment to like love the land and love these beautiful Australian natives and just sit there and just draw and paint them and just acknowledge their energy. And I just said, you know, if you want to know more like about them, pick your phone up, scan it. It'll tell you what it is. You can then do your own research and then just they can have a moment with it. But it was just so fun just sharing this like meditation, I guess, of like art. Like everyone was so quiet in the room and just really focused. And they were like, the artwork they made was amazing. A few people were blown away by like what they actually could do as well. So it was just cool. It was like, I really want to do more classes like that because I just felt so like grateful of just being able to share that moment with everyone.
That, yeah, that would be just such a special moment, even just to sit in the class with you. I think that'd be awesome. So hopefully you do get to put some more classes on and make sure you put it out there, because if I'm ever in Nam, I'll come and participate. My sister-in-law's actually just moved down there, so I'll be going down there more often. But, yeah, no, that's incredible, and thank you for sharing that. And, you know, we're coming towards the end of the show, unfortunately. But if people want to stay connected and follow the work that you're doing at the moment, how can they find you?
So you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at Josh Dean Official. I share a lot of my art and stuff on there, just daily happenings. And then my brand is By Josh Dean, Dean with an E. So yeah, By Josh Dean. And then, yeah, I got a website as well. But yeah, pretty much just like Instagram, socials and stuff.
Yeah, deadly. Well, thank you so much.
Mostly sharing on there, so. Yeah,
deadly. Sorry, we just got a little bit of lagging with the internet there, but no, absolutely. If you're interested to follow the, Josh's work, please follow and like and share his TikToks and Instagrams. And yeah, thank you so much for joining me today. I feel really grateful to have this moment with you. And I'm really personally excited to see, you know, what comes next from you. And I know many other people out there maybe listening today will join in on that sentiment and be, yeah, tuning in to see what you're up to. Any final messages for our listeners out there, Josh, before we end the show?
I guess I just want to say thank you. And yeah, like we started off in such a great like reflection on well-being, and I think it's important, right? Like I've had a lot of moments in my life where I felt like I've been down and out, and you never know what's truly around the corner. So just like keep your head up, keep your spirit high, keep on walking. You know, we're not just us. We're also like, you know, the culmination of our ancestors, like
absolutely
forward and backwards. So just remember that. Remember, you are powerful.
Absolutely. Lovely way to end the show. Thank you so much. Well, thanks, everyone. That was another episode of Let's Talk Black Arts. And I would like to just acknowledge the sponsors that are able to help us put this segment on. And I want to acknowledge the Community Broadcast Foundation and Brisbane Pride. So thank you. And if you would like to listen to this interview again or to listen to other interviews, you can see them on AAA.org.au or via the iHeartRadio app or the Community Plus radio app. But that's it for now. And until next time, yeah, well, see ya.
No more whispering in our mind. Let's Talk, Monday to Friday at 9 a.m. on AAA Murray Country, the National Indigenous Radio Service and iHeartRadio. You can catch up on AAA.org.au, proudly supported by the Community Broadcast Foundation.